Hallelujah. You may be seated. May Yahweh bless you. What a wonderful thing to be able to come into the presence of this magnificent King and extol His name. It's a wonderful thing to know His name and to understand the legitimacy of His name. It's not a false name, but it is the name of this eternal King that has no beginning or no end. I do want to, or I would not want to, call upon one that is different than the one that created all things. Yahweh has created all things, for the Scripture tells me that, and there is no doubt about that at all. And there's one thing that He wants us to do is to call upon Him. The Scriptures tells us that. You must understand what calling upon Him is. So when one began to utter with a loud, distinct voice, they began to cry out unto Him. And that is the Father's desire, that we will really and truly call upon Him in sincerity, understanding that He is able to do all things. There is no power of darkness, no contingency of hell that can overpower the mighty anointing of Yahweh. And so He expressed unto us to call upon Him. One begins to call upon Him, it is with a vociferous or a loud voice. As they began to utter, they began to holler or howl, as they began to call upon Almighty Yahweh. He doesn't want us to call upon Him in the privacy of our own hearts or our thoughts. He literally wants us to call upon Him. This one thing about grammar and word meaning, that their words, that their meanings are universal, and they never change meaning. It is one word that it is universal, that every man knows the meaning of that, and that is God. Regardless to whom the God is, they know that. It is a universal definition of that word. And what we have done in our vernacular, we have chosen to define words according to our feelings or our educational strength. We just totally defy references that actually gives us enlightenment to what the defined meaning is. So we go about as ignorant people, and we do things according to our own understanding, which is not very fruitful. And so this hour, we're going to have to call upon Him. If you were in distress, Sister Roberts in a position, or Sister Teresa back there, and someone is encroaching upon their house or breaking in, she will not holler husband, but she would distinctively call the name of David or James. That is how it is done. If someone was encroaching upon Sister Dot's house, she will not say honey, she would say Earl. Someone is coming in the house. And it will be done in a voice that is very distinct. He will know that's the voice of wife. Brother James will know that is Sister Teresa and no other. I will know the voice of Sister Roberts. And that is why even his sheep, they know his voice. He intends for them to know his voice. And so in this hour of great perils, He wants us to call upon Him. That is the assurance of our salvation, because only Yahweh can save. He is the one that is able to deliver and to break every shackle. David routinely called upon Him. You can search out the definition of the word call. It means to utter, to howl, to speak with a loud, distinctive voice. He wants us to call upon Him in that manner. With a very loud, distinct voice, He wants us to call upon Him. I want to begin in Scripture, in the book of Acts, the prophecy of Joel. But the Scripture tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 17. Acts chapter 2, and I want you to turn to Joel, chapter 2. Turn to Joel and Acts chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2. You think these things are coincidental? I don't believe that they're coincidental. I believe they are the orchestration of Almighty Yahweh, that He may reveal unto the house in this hour. I want you to pay attention to spellings of word, because I will point them out. Because we want to see what Scripture says. As Peter began to utter with the profound power of the anointing of Yahweh, he began to speak unto the gathering of those there at the upper room, whereby this great anointing had been ushered out, or the process had been ushered out upon the house of Israel, those that were gathered in the name of Yahweh. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, and it shall come to pass in the last days, and it shall come to pass in the last days." Now I want to stop there, because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Almighty Yahweh. And as He moved upon holy men, men of sincere desire to know the power of the revelation of this great wonder, He inspired them to write as the unction moved upon them. And Peter began to utter that it shall come to pass in the last days. Everything that he spoke had to have reference in Scripture. So it is today. Every prophecy must have its reference in Scripture, or its foundational pillars in Scripture. That is why you have so many prognosticators today. It is not based upon the doctrine or the soundness of truth, because they're leading many astray in this emotional tantrum, taking them to one extreme to the other, because they're not basing things upon the revelation of Yahweh's truth. So Peter uttered, "And it shall come to pass in the last day." I want to stop there and go to Joel chapter 2. And I want to begin reading at the 28th verse. The very same pronunciation here. Joel says in 2 Joel chapter 20, verse 28, "And it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my Spirit upon your sons and your daughters, and they shall prophesy. And old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." I want you to look back in Acts. Hold that in Joel. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith Yahweh, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and the young men shall dream dreams." So the power of that verse predicated, it was not based upon some delusion of Peter. It was based upon prophecy and Scripture. So he had drawn from the well of life, which is Scripture. Yahshua is the fulfillment of Scripture. He is the Word made flesh. And He came to pronounce and reveal unto us this mighty one, that we ought to know that we will trust Him to call upon Him. He said, "In that period of time, I will pour out a great anointing upon all flesh. There shall be no respect of flesh, gender, nationality, but I will pour out a great anointing upon flesh. And you will understand that it is my great anointing, because the young ones began to prophesy. The old men will see dreams. The young will have visions of this great revelation of whom I am, and the coming of this great Messiah, the one anointed of Yahweh, to fulfill His purpose. And that was to make Him known unto man, to make the glorious power of the Father known unto man." That is why Messiah came, that we may have hope in the revelation of that truth that was revealed unto us by Him, that there is an eternal Father and a great El that has created all things. That was the purpose of Messiah. And that He will extol the one that had sent Him and return all worship back unto Him. Nowhere in Scripture where He told us to worship Him. You must understand, as I began to search Scripture today and even look that word worship up and to define it, it has many connotations to it. That is the power that He reproved Satan with. He said, it is written that man shall worship Yahweh, and Him only shall he worship. So He came to bring a glorious return of pure worship back unto the Father. The four and the 20 elders, they fell before their face and they began to worship Yahweh. There are countless scriptures that tells us that. And so He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That this is a profound prophecy that was spoken by Peter in Acts. I want to continue there in the book of Acts. Chapter 2, verse 18 now. And on my servants and on my handmaid, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of Yahweh come. And it shall come to pass in that day. It says this, as Peter utters this, I want you to hear this. He said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name, I want you to look at how that is spelled there. Capital L, lowercase O-R-D. You see how that is spelled there? Now, it is the prophecy of Joel, what Peter prophesied. I want you to turn back to Joel chapter 2, the 29th verse. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of, you see how that is spelled, capital L, capital O, capital R, and D, come. Now which one is the scripture talking about? Which lords? Is there a distinct difference between them in the same prophecy? It is the same word of prophecy. Peter did not speak a word of prophecy that was different than the word of Joel. He spoke by the command and the power of the Holy Ghost as He began to speak. So what is the distinct difference there? Why is it even spelled different in this case? There is only one great one, and His name is Yahweh. And this is the disguising of what man has done in his own ignorance, in his own unwillingness to receive the profound truth of Yahweh. Peter was talking about the same one that Joel was talking about. They were not different. Same one. They were the same person, same manifestation of power, no difference at all. And yet they will make a difference there. Sure, there's a difference. It's spelled capital L-O-R-D in the Old Testament, and in the New is spelled in lowercase. Joel has not lost his place. He has not. And whosoever shall call upon the name, now which one of these, which one is more distinct than the other? How do you determine who you're calling upon? You have a word spelled capital L-O-R-D in the Old Testament. You have it spelled in the New Testament, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. Now the prophecy is the same. Who are we talking about? Why is there a distinction there? It was the word of Yahweh that was made flesh. He is the word and was the word. And the word was made flesh. And we beheld the power and the anointing of Almighty Yahweh in that body of flesh. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Almighty Yahweh shall be saved. He has a name that He wants us to call upon. And David extolled that throughout Scripture because Yahweh truly wants us to call upon Him. He wants us to, with a loud voice, to utter and call upon Him. Save me, Yahweh. Deliver me, as David did. Why? Because our hope is in Yeshua Messiah. That's where our hope is in, and nothing else. It is not in any lineage or any race or any nationality. It is in the power that was revealed in that body of Messiah. He was the anointed of Yahweh. So who is Scripture talking about? If it's spelled one way in the old, why not spell it the same in the new? Because it is the same word of prophecy. It has no difference because He is the same one. Who was Peter talking about? And who was Joel talking about? They were talking about the same. Because it is the Father and the Word and the Holy Ra'u, the Spirit of Yahweh, that bear record in the kingdom. And they bear record in the kingdom. Yahweh will not speak against the Son, neither will the Son speak against the Father. For they are one. Express that. I don't understand the power of that oneness. But I know and believe what Scripture says. They are one, and these three are one, and I believe that. I want to establish this because there is something I want to show us tonight. He said that they that call upon, and we call upon this Lord, who is the Lord that we call upon? And whosoever shall call, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the what? Of what? The name of the Lord shall be saved. What is the name of the Lord? If He is manifested in that degree, what is His name? There must be a name that He wants us to call upon, that we will be delivered from every yoke and power of darkness. And that name was the same there as the prophecy was in the book of Joel. The Son came in the Father's name. He did not come in a different name. He came in the very same name to represent the authority and the throne of Almighty Yahweh. He was not trying to establish some other throne. And so He wants us to call upon His name. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon His name. So it behooves us, and we don't know the name, that we need to find out that name. In Joel 2:32, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the capital L-O-R-D shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom Yahweh shall call. So who is this what we're calling upon? Is He the same? For He is the same. Messiah did not come to establish an identity separated from the Father. He came to establish the Father's identity because in Him was the Father's identity. For He identified with the Father, for He was of the Father, and He was in the Father because the Father was in Him. So He did not come to establish another identity or another way. There's only one way. One way. Yahweh established that way of truth. And Messiah was the manifestation and the witness that this truth of Yahweh, it is eternal and it is the truth. And so Peter could prophesy and speak by the same utterance as Joel spoke, without any doubt as to what he was saying. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh, shall be saved. In this hour of great devastation, calamity, and great trials of perplexity, as David is this metaphor of the body of Yahweh, and when the great trials would come, he would literally call upon the name of the Father. He did not do it in the quietness of his mind.
It was not done in some little sort of way, but it was done with the openness and the vociferation of His voice, with hallowing unto the Father to make known whom He is. That the powers of hell, as that name penetrate the veneer of darkness above these heavens, they will know who you're calling upon. You take time when you go home and look up the definition of the word call, C-A-L-L. And you will see it is to hollow or utter or speak with a loud, distinct voice that it may be recognized. Certainly Yahweh understand our quietness of our spirits, but He wants His name to be lifted up. As Messiah lifted up the Father's name, He was the insignia of the name of Almighty Yahweh. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. I will draw all men unto me, because He was standing in the stead, or He was in the power of the Father. That's what He came to do. He did not come to destroy the power of the Father, but to make it known. And so in this hour, men will not call upon the Father. They won't even call His name. They despise it. They detest that name. And He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Father shall be saved. Go home and search the Scripture. And look up the word worship, worshiping, and see where the worship, where it was all generated towards. Look up in the Scriptures. It's a generation that is so lazy, has no time for Yahweh, has no time for Scripture. That's why it's so difficult for them to believe anything today. Because they don't read it, they don't study to show themselves approved of unto Yahweh. And when they hear something, they think that it is strange. What I will read tonight, it is simple. You can understand what I'm reading tonight. It doesn't take a spiritual intellect. It just simply takes an understanding of the definition of a simple word. And that is to call upon Yahweh. A man in distress, seeing a brother, he will not say brother. He will call the brother's name. That is what he will do. A sister in distress, needing help, she will call the one by name that is able to bring some kind of deliverance unto them. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. For in that name you will find the Son, and in the Son's name you will find the Father's name. They don't have separate names. It's one. There's only one Yahweh, one faith, and one baptism. They're not two. Only one. Only one name whereby we are going to be saved. He's bringing us to the light of that. His people for the great trial, before the great and notable day of Yahweh. There's going to be great perplexity upon the earth, and you're going to have to know who you're calling upon. You can't have no doubt as to who you're calling upon. You're going to have to know with certainty who you're calling upon. He said, before that great notable day whereby there shall be the wrath of the vengeance of Yahweh, I will pour out my anointing upon all flesh. And you will understand and realize, because it will be signified by prophecy, tongues, visions, and dreams, and there will be a powerful manifestation of my spirit upon the face of the earth. And it will cross every sector of society. It will not just be for the black man or the white man or the Jewish man. It will be for the servant and those that are lowly and those that are high, those that do not know how to esteem and those that are esteemed. And the Spirit of Yahweh bears witness with him. Three that bear witness in heaven, that is the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And the Spirit is not going to announce anything or enunciate anything but the Father's name. For in the Father's name is the Son's name. He is the Messiah. He is not the Christos. He is the Messiah of Yahweh. He is the Anointed One, anointed by the Father, to dispense His laws, His government, His power, and His anointing upon His people. And they will know without a doubt that a body, a flesh body, That's why we must consider Messiah. You can't cast a Messiah. You must consider him because he suffered certain things, Satan. That's why we're weary in our minds and we fall and we're taken under by the powers of hell. Let us consider Messiah. Unless we get weary in our mind, a man that suffers such contradiction of sinners, unless we get weary in our minds and our spirits and we faint, he wants us to call upon him. When you call upon one, you have confidence in that one. You trust in the ability to deliver. You believe that they are able to deliver. So that's why you call upon them. And you make a distinct sound. You don't make no uncertain sound. You make a sound that is sure. Sister Teresa will not say David if James and her are in the house. She will say James. She will call upon that distinct sound. And that will give him a quickening in his spirit to know that it is him. So it is with the Father. Why is it that this world will not identify our Father? Like we are some bastards, some illegitimate. We're not bastards. The Father has a name. There must be a name, Satan. And he wants that name called upon. He wanted to be lifted up and uttered and made known unto this heathen pagan world that's filled with sin and wickedness. It's a vile, evil world that denounces everything that is pure and everything that is holy. Look at this trust, that Santa Claus, that demonic power movie they have out. They got all these religious perverts speaking out against it. And this thing is grossing untold millions of dollars. Everybody's going to see this perverted thing. The thing that's supposed to be their great pride, their icon. He is a filthy, perverted thing. It is just a metaphor of the spirit of that vile thing. And that is why they have no shame to present him on the theaters the way they are. They're going in the droves by the thousands, millions to see it. Corrupt thing. They love things that are false and pagan. They will go by the hundreds of millions throughout the world, by the billions in droves to show their biases unto this pagan thing they call Santa Claus. And they say Jesus is the reason for the season. They don't even know what they are saying. They don't even believe that. Yeshua is the reason that you always given us hope. He is the hope of, he is our hope. He is our eternal hope. And that is the gift of Yahweh. That in Messiah, that body is our eternal hope. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name. We must call on the name. And if he is a L-O-R-D, we better know the name of that L-O-R-D. And if Yoel prophesied the same prophecy, then that name was there. And Peter knew the name. He did not pray in some hybrid term or speak in some hybrid term. He knew the name. And he said, if you call upon that name, you will be saved. Why? Because in that name, it is a witness of the testimony of Messiah. It's true. When you call on that name, you can't denounce the witness of that testimony. It's what this wicked world has taught. And their Trinitarian, their oneness, they don't even know your way. This is a corrupt world. It's foul and evil. The mindset is demented and filled with powers of darkness that they don't even know light when they shine forth. It's a wicked world. And only those that call upon his name, they are the ones that are going to be saved and delivered from the oppressive yoke of this age. Whether we believe that or not, whether you receive it or not, that is the truth. Those that know him, those that truly know him, they're going to be stronger. And they're going to do exploits. Those that know him. Why? Because they know his name. Too long we've walked in the darkness. Too long this nation has been blind. And it is still blind because these perverts are afraid of losing their millions and billions of dollars. And so they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know, but they won't say it. Because they are afraid. afraid the folks would turn against them, and read them, let them turn. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. There's a witness in the old and the new. And not only there's a witness in the new, but there's another witness in the new. The scripture says in Romans chapter 10. I want to see how that is laid out in the King James. Romans 10 verse 13. It says in verse 12, Romans 10 verse 12. It says, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same sovereign master over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whoever call upon him, he's rich toward them all. Let me read it from the King James. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. Do you hear that? He said, they that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who shall call upon the name of Yahweh, they shall be saved. It says call upon what? The name. So what is the name of the sovereign one? It says in the beginning that it says in verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Yahweh over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So it extols this mighty one as to whom he is to let you know the power of his richness. So it's no different whether you're Jew or Greek or heathen or Gentile. If the man called upon that name, then he shall be saved. He wants men to call upon him. That they will put their confidence in him and trust him above anything in this life. And men don't trust the Father today. They trust religion. They trust charlatans. But they don't trust true men that will extol the virtues and the righteousness of Yahweh. So they establish their leaders to fit their profile. I want them to say that. I want them to act like this. I don't want them to touch that. But if we talk about those things, give us these kinds of activities, then that will be a good leader. Yahweh, he doesn't ordain a leader according to the visual perceptions of people. He gives us leaders that are ordained by him. He will pour out the measure of his spirit in that man. Not a woman, but a man. To proclaim the power of this revelation as to whom he is. Why? Because Yahweh is the head of Messiah. Messiah is the head of man. And man is the head of every woman. And so the head power as his head was revealed in Messiah. He revealed that in man. And man revealed that unto woman. The body be the call of the light, the assembly, the tabernacle, the congregation. He revealed those profound truths of Yahweh unto the woman. It is not that some whorehouse overpower a man of Yahweh and tells him what to speak and how to speak. And that's what they're doing today. It's a corrupt world. If we don't come to the reality of that, then woe unto us. Whosoever shall call upon the name. It said, whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? See, that was a generation as we have did not believe Yahweh. Or how shall they believe in him whom they have not even heard? The priest didn't speak his name. The religious leaders didn't speak his name. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, they knew that the pastors were, Yahweh said, his house, he will ordain pastors out there, his own heart. He will feed them with knowledge and understanding. And so the question was asked, how can we even hear unless there's one ordained by the Father to speak unto us the specifics of that name? That we may understand whom he is. So we need a preacher, a pastor, man, where Yahweh has sent to open up unto us the richness of that knowledge and that revelation of whom he is. So we can't even hear unless it's sent from the Father. He is the chief shepherd, Messiah was, and he still is. And that is why he said, Father, he said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for these. Don't take them out, but you just keep them from the evil of this world. Keep them from the wicked one. And that's his cry for those that are his. Why? Because that name is going to be exalted. It's going to be tried. It's going to be ridiculed. And yet he ever held the standard of the Father. He did not seek to please himself, but he pleased the one that had sent him. Then who sent Messiah? If he did not seek to please himself, he sought to please the one that sent him. Who sent him? What is his address? You go into an address and you don't know the one who you're going to see? Something is wrong. I want to know the one I'm going to see. You go knock at someone's door and they say, who do you want? I want the man of the house. No, who do you want? I want the brother. No, who do you want? So we're going to go serenade into the kingdom. We don't even know who we're coming to meet. That's foolishness. The Son was sent by the Father. The Word was made flesh. It's either you believe that in Scripture, John, and you don't believe this is the book then. I know the spirit of man, what they will do and how they do things. They've always done that. And that's why Yahweh, even he said as his scribes, their pens are full of vanity, lies and deception. And those were the men that handled the word of Yahweh. You find the same thing today. The scribes, their pens are full of vanity and lies. The scripture tells us in Psalms 105 verse 1. Psalms 105. David said in Psalms 105 verse 1, oh, he shall wake, and that is what that actually means, oh. I want you to take heed to this. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh. I know what it says in that translation of the King James. It says, give thanks unto the Lord. How is it spelled there? All capitals, it is. So who are you going to give thanks unto? How do you spell his name? There's only one enunciation of his name. It says, oh, give thanks unto Yahweh. How? Call upon what? All right, let me read it the other way from the King James. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. What name are you calling upon? He wants us to literally call upon him, saints. He does. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh. Call upon his name. And when you began to call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. You make known what he's done. You make known his truth that he's revealed unto you. The revelation of his mighty power. We are intimidated to make known the deeds of Yahweh. We are captivated by the wicked because they have the power to draw us into a snare. And we are ashamed to call upon his name. We get mom, quiet, but I'm not ashamed. I told you all that jacket, that Sister Marshall, what she did for me. I know that people are going to ask questions. As Elder Martin and I went out on Sunday, the first day, to buy some things, there was a woman standing in line, and she says, Yahshua. She says, I know that a cold sinner. She said, I know that name. She said, you don't think I know? I said, I haven't questioned that at all. She said, how do you pronounce it? Yahshua? I said, Yahshua. Sure, that's how you pronounce it. She said to me, that is a Jewish name. Well, it is a Hebrew name. But she said, I know what that means. This world is not ignorant. The children of this generation are more wise than the children of light. Because we hide our head in the sand in our tradition, in our flesh. In our own ignorance, we hide ourselves and we are bound by those things. We don't want someone to tell us the truth. We want to hire charlatans. Men that speak things that satisfy you. And yet it hasn't brought us to that perfect visitation of Almighty Yahweh. And that perfect visitation is that the power of His Spirit is poured out upon the house. No prophecy today. No dreams, no visions or anything at all. And that's why you find the souls of many decaying and famishing away. Because without a vision, man will perish. And they don't have the vision of seeing the mighty one because they don't know who they're looking to see. 425 years of house and bondage in Egypt. And he awakens them to reveal who he is to them. He sent Moses down to Pharaoh and to say, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, by the way, you great one, what name shall I tell them that I am representing? And he said, have they really been that long in bondage they've forgotten about me? Certainly they had. Tell them that I am the one. They will know who I am, for my mighty power is manifested. Egypt was known for their gods and their deities and their statues and their pagan alley and their pagan rituals. So they want to know, who is this one? I want to know his name. Since he's able to withstand the gods of Egypt. So he has a name. David said, call upon his name. Call upon his name. And it has to be with a loud expression too. Bless you, Yahweh. It has to be with an expression. It has to be with an expression. Go home and look up the word call. And when you do that, then look for the synonyms of the word call. We are very ignorant. This is an ignorant world. It is. Look up the word call and see what it means. And then look at the synonyms. You know what a synonym is? It is simply a word that is spelled different than the word, but has the same meaning. Well, give thanks unto Yahweh. When you give thanks, you call upon his name. He wants you to call upon his name because he wants to know who you're giving thanks to. Can I ask all of you parents something? It is one thing about children. They will say, thank you, Pastor Robertson. Bless you, brother. Thank you, sister. So, when you do something for them, most of them will. They will always acknowledge the one that has given them the thing. Now, that may be sometimes they don't do that. You let Brother James do something for Nate Becker. He said, thank you, Brother James. Certainly he acknowledged him. Yes, you will. You let him do something sweet for Teresa. She was, oh, thank you, James. Oh, thank you, James. It would not just be a thank you, but she would say, thank you, James. If I do something for Sister Robert, she would not say, thank you, David. She would not say, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Robert. I love you, David. Thank you. That's the way it works. You will acknowledge. You will make an acknowledgement of that. Come on, Brother Dolphin does something for his wife. She says, oh, thank you, Dolphin. Thank you, honey. I bless you, Dolphin. Thank you. Sure you do. And that's what Yahweh wants me. He said, I want you to know that it's me doing it. You ought to give him thanks for Messiah. You can't give him thanks for the one that has delivered you from everybody. Something is wrong with us. And we've been blinded by religion because it has not taught us the profoundness of the power of this truth. That's why we are still little children toying around, trying to find our way. Sure we are. You don't even know which way you're going. And when we're up and down, twisted flat, sure today, uncertain tomorrow, in sin today, and don't even know you're forgiven the next hour. That's the mindset. You say, call upon his name. When you know that he has done something of great, great significance in your life, you're going to thank him. When you don't believe he's done that, you won't thank him. But because you know he's done that, you will thank him. You will thank him. He delivered you from a very dire strait. He doesn't want you to say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. He wants you to say, bless you, Yahweh. I thank you. He wants the accreditation for that thing. It's a shameful world. It's a wicked world. It is. You will identify the pagan one, but when it comes to Yahweh, they want. They will talk about Christmas and all these pagan rituals. When it comes to the Father, they reject. They reject him. That's the truth. There has to be a Father. And if there's no Father, the Messiah is a flat-out liar. Because he extolled the Father and everything he did. He talked about a Father. Now, which one of you all in here was born of a father and a mother? Which one of you all in here were born of a father and a mother? Something wrong with all of you folks. Because every last one of you all been born of a father and a mother. Every last one of us. I may not know my father, but I've been born of a father and a mother. The seed was from the man, so the woman, she cared about the seed. Where's our mind? We all been born of a father and a mother. You may not know the father, you may not know the mother, but you've been birthed by a father and a mother. And most children that never met their father, they're not for parents. They do not find a completion in their lives until they realize whom they are. And when they hear the names of their parents, then it does something or settle things in them. And so it ought to be with us with your way. But to settle something in us. David said in Psalms 116, 2 and 3. He wants us to call on his name. Let me read that. Psalm 16. 116. I want to read the definition of call. I wrote it down. It was a large definition. I did not want to write it all down or print it out. Call. To speak in a loud, distinct voice so as to be heard at a distance. Miss that part. That's important. It's a loud, distinct voice that is to be heard at a distance. Shout. To utter loud voice. Utter or speak a loud, distinct voice. No. Utter or speak a loud, distinct, carrying voice. Synonym, yell, vociferate, holler, or cry. Now, there are other synonyms. I just wrote those down that you were familiar with. But that is what the cry is. The call. He wants to cry. Cry unto him. He means what he says. He means what he says. Every God demands that. They go to the football games and they lose their voices for the Panthers. I don't care if it's high school. David said in Psalms 116 verse 2, he said, Yahweh, because you have inclined, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Who inclined his ear unto David in the midst of his distressful situation? He said, I'm going to call upon him as long as I live. Look down in the 13th verse and he tells you. He says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation. I know that these are, you can say what you want to. These are hybrid pagan titles. This is not the title of Yahweh. He said, I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name. Now, who is the name of the one David called upon? He says, going to call upon him as long as he lives. What is his name? Tell me. That what David says has no relevance to us. It's based upon false reality. Now what Peter prophesied, what Yoel said, it has no power or relevance at all. If that same one saved them then, he's the same one that saves us now. He's the same one that saved them, he saves us now. And what he done, he brought it close to home to us all by sinning or coming in the power of flesh and to make known whom he is. That's what he did. So that's no different what Peter said than what Yoel said. And yet this corrupt world, they have even spelled even the Lord differently. There's only one power. The power is from Yahweh. There's only one power. That's what Paul said. All power that be is ordained of him. There's no other power but him. I don't care what kind of power it is, he ordains the power. Tautellarism or capitalism, whatever. He ordains the power. He ordains it. David told you who you call upon. He said, I will take the cup of salvation. And I will call upon the name. That alone lets me know that there's a name. I will call upon the name. I will call upon the name. Even if he is a Lord, I will call upon the name of whom he is. But he is not a Lord. He's always the great L. He is not like Lord of the Lords of London, Lord Bishop. He is not. They carry the distinct titles that are earmarked for him, just like a man called himself Reverend. That can't be. Be quiet over it, but that's all right. His truth is still truth. And not any of you are going to break this preacher. Not when it comes to him. Because I know who my anchor. I know who he's the anchor of my soul. And he's done something for me in the last 6 months that he's never done in all of his life. In all of my life. And I bless him for that. I thank him for that. So you can actually kill me. You won't do me no harm. Because there's no fear of that. I fear not doing his will. I fear being taken under that delusion. He should in the strong delusions too. This is a wicked world today. You can't find a remnant of a people nowhere. And the battle of those that trying to seek him there is a tremendous pressure to battle. That's why he wants us to call upon him. Call upon him and he'll deliver us. That's what he wants. And yet we don't call upon him. Scripture tells us that. Scripture tells us in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 12. I'll read Psalms 145 verse 18. This is a powerful statement here. Listen to this. Psalms 145 verse 18. I want to see how this is read in the King James. Psalms, if someone got that, Psalms 145, 18. One of you brothers, you got that. Read that loud for me. Psalms 145 verse 18. The Lord is nigh. It says this, Yahweh is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. Now, do you hear that? In truth. Was Messiah the truth of the Father? The Holy Ghost leads us and guides us into all truth. Does it not? And so the Spirit of Yahweh will lead us to the truth of this revelation. Who Messiah is. And what Messiah revealed is that the Father, that Yahweh has sent him, that he may testify this great El and the mighty one that is able to save. He came to bring the message of salvation. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the soul of man was lost. It was the soul of man that was lost. It was embedded in darkness. His mind and the life of the man's soul was filled with pagan and rituals and traditions. He had lost the sensuals of Almighty Yahweh. He came to seek the soul of man. Because Yahweh put something in man. He breathed the breath of life into him. He became a living soul. What he did. And that had been separated from the Father. When a man's soul is in light, he will worship the Father. His soul was lost in darkness. His mind was captivated by darkness. Everything he did was filled with darkness. That's why there was no powerful revelation of movement between Malachiah and Matthew. 400 plus years. No powerful prophecy or any such thing. The soul of man was lost in darkness and sin. The Messiah came to seek that thing that the eyes of man could not see. You can't see the soul of a man. You can't see the spirit of a man. But he knew that there was something that Yahweh had invested in. He had put his breath there. He could not allow that breath to be corrupted. He could not allow that. And so he came to seek that profound breath of life in man and reveal unto him that life is of a truth. Yahweh has sent me that life in your soul may come alive. And as he began to speak, folks came alive too. Folks came alive. Those that were in darkness, that man filled with demons of Gadara, he said, come out. And the man came alive. Those 10 leprosy, they went and they all cleaned up. And one came back. Why? Because he came to seek to save that which was lost. He came alive because his soul was alive. And because his soul was alive, he could bless the Father and worship him. No man, they knew no man could cleanse or forgive a man of sin. Only Yahweh could do that. And Messiah said, you're right. That's the message preached in our tradition. Yahweh's going to, he's got a people and those servants. He's going to speak it with clarity. And they're not going to be bound by some tradition. They're not going to be bound by the black race. They're going to be bound by the white race. They're going to be bound by the Jewish race. They're going to be free. They're going to have the liberty to speak and to proclaim the proclamations of Almighty Yahweh. They are. They're not going to be bound by money, finance, and some kind of recognition, that's not going to bind them. They're going to speak to the house that he has ordained and call out to be saved. And those that are going to be saved, they will hear. And when they hear, they will call upon his name to say, you said this for me. You said a word like this to tell me this. You said that. And they will call upon his name, and they will do it with thankfulness too. And they will not be ashamed of his name. They will not. Not at all. I'm not ashamed of this power of this truth that has saved me. I'm glad Messiah revealed it unto me. Glad he showed me my sins. I'm glad to know that I got a Father. Messiah never told us. He never told us in Scripture that he was our Father. He said, well, even when you pray, pray our Father which art in heaven. He never told you he was our Father. But he was the messenger of the Father. Why? Because he came in the stead of the Father. And you knew that he had all the tools of the Father. He had the power and the instruction of the Father. How can you deny the Father and you say you know him? If you know him, you know the Father. And you will not denounce the Father. This wicked world, they denounce your way. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. And in that day shall they say, I will read the King James rendition. There are people that this broadcast will go out throughout many parts of the United States, in many places throughout the world. No, it doesn't cover the world, and it doesn't cover the United States. But there will be those that will hear this that have no understanding. And so I speak to them as well. It says in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, look at what they put there. For the Lord who? That's what they put for the Lord Jehovah. For Yahweh Almighty is my strength, my song, and he has become my Yoshak, my Yoshua. He has become my salvation. His name is not Jehovah. Never was and never will. Yahweh. To never be Jehovah. He said, he is my salvation. He said, therefore with joy Will ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation? Do you understand what Yahshua is? He is our salvation, our assurance of salvation. And with joy you ought to draw water out of the well as whom he is, because you know who he is, because he came in the power of the Father. He says in verse 4, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. You will say, praise Yahweh. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people, making mention that what? That what? His what? Is what? And his name is exalted. Making mention that his name. Something is wrong, you don't make mention that his name is exalted. That's scripture. That's scripture. The world fights against that. That's scripture. Making mention that his name, not his authority, but his name is exalted. His name is lifted up. His name is lifted high. His name is a pillar. Making mention that his name is exalted. Does this make sense to you, Brother Neesmith? It does to me too. Simple. That's not hard to understand to read that, is it? I read it again, verse 4. And in that day shall ye say, praise Yahweh, call upon his name now, declare his doing among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Then it says in verse 5, sing unto Yahweh, for he hath done excellent thing. This is known in all the earth. Then he tells you how to do it. He says what? And what? Cry out and shout, thou what? Of who? Of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. He tells you to cry out and shout. For great is the Holy One, your way in the midst of thee. Hallelujah. He means what he says. He means what he says. Yeah, he means to call his name. He means what he says. He means what he says. Cry out and shout. He means that. He means that. He means that. Is it not? We don't believe the scripture. We don't believe him. He's going to tear down your whole houses. We have built whole houses. We have gone under every big tree that is to play with every kind of spirit. He's tearing down your houses of hollow tree. They're whole houses. Yeah, they're whole houses. Because they bring pleasure to your flesh. Don't bring pleasure to the whole houses. That's what a whole house is. That's what a house of harlotry is. He's tearing your whole houses down. Tear them down. The whole houses. Tear them down. You see, when he tells you to do that and you can't do it, something is wrong in your soul. You see, you don't love him. Because if we say we love him, we don't obey his commandments. We're liars. And the truth is not in us. See, that's a simple thing what he tells us to do. He said, all the inhabitants of Zion now. If you're not an inhabitant of Zion, you can't do it. Well, that's for the old. No, that's for now. That's his truth. He's the same today. He's the same today. Yesterday. And evermore. I am Yahweh Almighty. And I change not. You know, you will go to the world and you will do just what the world says. You will bless the world. You will participate in their little gala activities and their reveling and banqueting. Yahweh gives us something simple to do. We find a discomfort in that. Something is wrong in your soul. That's not a great love for him. That's not a great love. Whether you believe that or not, you don't love him the way you think you do. When he gives you a small command like that to try your heart to see if you truly love him. And then we wrestle with that. You don't love him. There ain't no pure love for him. A husband says to his wife, give me a glass of water. And she finds that so difficult. She will raise all kinds of cane. And yet the energy she dispenses in all that, she can just get him some water. He always tells us, he says, cry out and shout. Listen, thou inhabitants, thou inhabitants of Zion, only those that are in the house of Yahweh. For great is the, he said, for great is the hallowed one, the holy one of Israel in the midst of thee. He's only in Zion. That's where he's at, in Zion. And he wants you to know that he's great. That's what scripture says, great is the one. He's the great one. He wants us to call upon him. He wants us to practice that, calling upon him. He wants us that to be a ritual part of our lives, to call upon him. Don't you know when you're in distress or there's a situation in your life, you call upon someone. Go get brother so. Get brother Ray. Get Deacon Benny. Get brother Charles. Get sister Dodd. Get sister Celeste. Get sister Robinson. You want some herbs or something? You got a little pain? You don't call Pastor Roberts. You call sister Robinson. We might as well identify with truth. Something is wrong when we can't. If I'm a false man, then I will not sit under this kind of truth. I'm telling the truth, I'm telling a lie. And a man that's telling a lie, he is purposely trying to deceive you or to bring you under some illusion to take you into darkness. I want us to be made free from the illusion of your flesh and your stubbornness and your corruption. That's what the Father wants. Go preach, as David said. I'm going to call upon you as long as I live. So as long as I live, I'm going to preach. I don't know anything else but to do that. I'm going to preach. The scripture tells us in 1 Chronicles. Let's see if there is a witness in scripture. You can't just have it in the new. It must be in the old too. For the new is from the old. It is. Without that, you have no new. He was revealed to them. He was made known unto us by that revelation of the old. You can't cast this away. He did cast it away. He did cast his law away. That's why when he brought Israel out of Egypt, he baptized them all in the Red Sea. What a baptism. What a baptism. So you can't change that. Not a sprinkling. He submerged. He baptized them. The scripture says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, as David began to speak with great utterance. Listen to this. Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16 verse 7. Then on that day David delivered first the Psalms. To thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And this is what he said. Give thanks unto the Lord. I use that expression for those that are listening. And you as well. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. What name are you going to call? Tell me the name, saints. We can't shun Yahweh. You can't do that. You can't continue to do that. It's going to be a breach. You can't. You can't. That's too much repetition in Scripture. You can't deny it. You may close your eyes, but it's still there. It's still there. And you know he has a name because they even gave him the name Jehovah. And that ain't not his name. It's Yahweh. Yah. That is his name. And Messiah. Messiah. Came in that anointing of Yah. He was a part of the family. That's why the men, their names are called Eliah, Isaiah, Malachiah. They're all part of that family. That's what it is. That's why my name is David Roberts. My natural brother's name is John Roberts, James Roberts, Joel Roberts, a part of that natural clan. And so he brought it to pass a family unit. He says, Matthiah, Zephaniah, Obadiah, my men, because they're far part of my house, and their names will extol me. Sure their names will. Sure they will. He says, give thanks unto Yahweh, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Now, he wants us to do that. He doesn't want to say, the Lord is good to me. I want to say, Yahweh is good to me. Who is that? Well, he's the Father. He's the Mighty One. He's the Great El. The Mighty One of Yisrael. That's who he is. He wants his deeds to be made known. Sure he does. He does, saints. This is a simple truth. Psalms 18. Psalms 18. Verse 3. Now this is what David said. I'm not going to read this like the King James. David said, Psalms 18 verse 3. I will call upon Yahweh, who is worthy. Hallelujah. He is the only one that's worthy. There's another one that's worthy. If he was worthy for David, is he not worthy today? He said, I will call upon Yahweh, for he is worthy to be praised. So shall I be, what? Saved? You tell me he was saved in that day from my enemies? He said, I'm going to call upon Yahweh, for he's worthy to be praised. So shall he save me from all of my enemies. And that's what he's going to have to do. As he brought Israel out. As he brought those that had faith to trust him and to believe him. They believe him. We're going to have to call upon him. And when you call that son's name, in that name is the Father. Because he came in the Father's name. No separate name. Just one name. Just one name. One. David declares in Psalms 15, verse 14 and verse 15. He wants us to call, and that is to shout and to have a loud voice to make known whom he is. Psalm 50, 14 and 15. It says, offer unto Yahweh. It says God there, doesn't it? But it says, offer unto Yahweh thanksgiving. And pay the vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Who are you going to call upon in the day of trouble? And I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. There must be one has a name that you must call upon in the day of trouble. He's going to deliver you, and then he says to you, glorify me. Glorify me. That's what he means, to make known who I am. To extol me. To make my name known. To give it great extolling and praises. Because you know that he is able to save and deliver. He's able to save. Without Yahweh, there is no salvation. He sent the Messiah. Without the Father, there is no salvation. Without Almighty Yahweh, there is no salvation. Because the Son came to please the Father. He did not come to please himself. He came to please the Father. We must understand that. He had no agenda. He had only one purpose, and that was to please the Father. David said in chapter 55 in verse 16 of Psalms, he says, as for me, I will call upon Yahweh, and Yahweh shall save me. Only he can save, saints. Salvation belongeth unto Yahweh. That's why he gave us the assurance of hope in salvation through his Son. It is not a complex thing to understand. That's why he sent his Son, because only Yahweh can save. Buddha can't save. Krishna can't save. And they all have names. Allah can't save. Then what is the name of this one that can save? You tell me he has no name? He has a name. Only Yahweh can save. It's no imagination. It's this religious whore that she has done all she could to keep that name obeyed at. That's what she's done. So she's established these religious harlots, these charlatan men that love money, they're greedy, they're dogs. That's all they are. And so Satan rewards them greatly. Because he says, just bow and worship me. Just bow. You don't have to understand worship, just bow. When a man gives into the flesh, and he serves to satisfy the pleasure of the flesh, he's bound to the power of darkness. Because the flesh is enmity against Yahweh. It can't save you the things of the Spirit. And that's why it's hard for people to understand this truth, because they're still carnal. That's very carnal. And that's why they can't receive it. He has a name. And his name is Yahweh. Yahweh. That is his name. And he's not going to change it for you or me. That is his name. And it has been his name from the beginning, as there has been a language to speak unto man that he would identify himself. I'm Yahweh. That's me. Glory. Psalms 80, verse 18, verse 19. And I will bless him too, my son. I bless you, Yahweh. I got a few more verses. Psalms 80, 18, and verse 19. Psalms 80. So will not we go back from thee? Will you go back from the Father? How many of you all want to go back from the Father? David says, so we will not go back from thee. He said, quicken us. Quicken us. See, he must quicken you. And he said, we will call what? Come on, everybody. What did he say? We will do what? Who was David talking to? Then what name? That must be a name. He said, we will call upon thy name. See, he must quicken you to do that. He said, quicken us. And we know what quickening is. We're these apostolic and these holy things. You know, something like that. That's quickening. It's folly. It's folly. That ain't no quickening. He said, make me alive unto thy truth. Quickening is to make alive. It's to bring forth life. And ain't no life in that. You can say what you want to. There ain't no life in that. That ain't no life. Hallelujah. David said, quicken me. Quicken us. Make us alive. Cause life to come in. We will call upon thy name. You must be quickened to call upon that name. You say you have the anointing. The anointing will quicken you to call upon that name. Quicken me so I can call upon. Is that not what Scripture says? You call upon thy name. Call upon thy name. It's either David spoke as an oracle of Yahweh, or he's a flat-out liar. Well, you believe that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He will lead me beside still water. You like that part, huh? Well, what about this part? What about this? If you believe there's comfort in that, what about this? What about that? What about this? If you believe you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and what about this? What about quickening me that I may call upon thy name? What about that? Is that as essential as that? Oh, you remember the 23rd Psalms, but what about Psalms 80? It's all relevant. It's the same, because it is the measure of the fullness of Yahweh. That is what it is. So he needs to quicken you. He said, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Yahweh, the great El of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be what? Saved. 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 And they that call upon his name shall be saved. And David, in the midst of that trial, he called upon his name, and he was saved. This generation, you don't find much saved in this today. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. Oh, you think you're a great man? No, I just serve the great one. There's nothing about me that's great. There's nothing about me that's admirable. It's him. Why is that? Because greater is that power that is in me than this old worldly way of mine that is full of worldliness. Great is he, for his name is in me. For his son came and he said, now, this is the Father's name. I tell you, son, he bears witness. He bears record that who he is. I close him here from Psalms 86. Glory. Psalms 86, verse 5. David said, for thou sovereign Yahweh, first of all, you're good. Bless you, Yahweh. Ready to forgive. So forgiveness just did not come with the manifestation of Messiah, huh? Huh? You're always ready to forgive. He's plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Oh, give ye, O Yahweh, unto my prayer, and attend to the what? Voice of my supplication. David said, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. He said, I want to tell you something great, Yahweh. Among the gods, there is none like thee, O Yahweh. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. He has done a marvelous thing in the body. A wonderful change has come for me. See, he's done a wonderful work. There's no other work that can be compared to his works. The works among the gods. G-O-D-S. Amongst all of them, there's nothing that you can compare among them like you, mighty one. For your works are different than theirs. Your works are mighty and precious. He did a mighty work in you. In your soul. He has breathed a breath of life. And so that is why he speaks the words of faith to you. The spirit. The words that he gives us today, they're spirit. And they're life. For he is life. And in him is life. He must be in us in order for life to dwell in us. Man breathed the breath into him. He became a living soul. He knew the Father. And that's what he wants in this hour. What sin has done, it has laid such layers separation. May Yahweh bless you. Be encouraged. I pray you get some rest tonight.